If you'll kindly turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And Tim has helped title this, The Gospel Treasure Inside. He kept asking me for weeks and weeks, what's your title? What's your title? And I said, I don't know. I said, name it. Go ahead and name it. So this is what he came up with. And it's so fitting for what it talks about. And I see the picture there of the light shining through. And this person in the corner just have their arms up towards the heavens and letting the light shine. So we're going to be reading, if you turn your Bibles again, like I said, to Matthew chapter 5. It's going to be verses 13 through 16. Could you turn that down just a smidgen? I'm getting a... Okay. No, that's okay, too. No, it was, what was happening is it's feeding back behind me. That's good. You guys can hear me okay? Okay, I promise to try to stay right here. Nope. Huh? Sure. Yeah. Oh, man, look at that. Spider. Oh! Can't go anywhere. That's live action. Oh yeah. Take that. No. So believers are salt and light. And as I read this, could we please stand and honor God? Chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Father, I want to thank you for this passage that you'd brought to me some time ago. Father, I pray you'd use me to enlighten the congregation of how we are to be like salt and light into this world. Father, thank you again for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever grilled on a barbecue and had a really nice steak that you've gotten and you put all the right seasoning on it or even marinate it to your tasting or whatever it may be, and you had to watch it so it didn't get overcooked or burnt, and you couldn't wait to put it to your mouth so your taste buds would be satisfied of a job well done. You ever had that? I know some of you do some smoking and some things of different meats and stuff. So what if you had a nice steak with no seasoning? You also cooked it in the dark with no light. I've done this before. How do you think it would turn out? Not very good. I've actually done that before. Probably not to your taste buds' liking, I'm sure. Then you just ruined a really nice steak. Preserving our flavor and keeping the light on is something we're going to be talking about here today. And as we go into this part of the scriptures, Jesus is on a mountainside and he is giving detailed instructions on the Sermon on the Mount on how we as believers in Christ should resemble Christ-likeness in our lifestyle. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people whom gathered to hear him teach. And not only that, his disciples were there as well to hear what Jesus was teaching. So he's given specific instructions throughout the whole chapter 5, the Beatitudes it's called, in which the Beatitudes is also known as blessings, the blessings of people. he's teaching on specific and many topics here. He teaches on not only the blessings, but also the salt and the light. He teaches on the Jesus and the law, anger and reconciliation he teaches about. He teaches about adultery and divorce. He also teaches about oaths, retaliation, and love for enemies. But we're going to be looking mostly at chapters 5, 13 through 16, and believers, what type of salt and light are you today? That's a good question. I want you to think about that. Where is your flavor, and what is your light like today? So think about this as we go through what Jesus is teaching here. In verse 13, Jesus tells his disciples they are the salt of the earth. Not that they should become the salt of the earth. There's a big difference there. So he's telling them they're part of the family. They're part of the kingdom. You are the salt of the earth. They are to be influencers. They are to be preservers of this world, what Christ has put forth. Just as salt prevents decay and adds flavor to different substances, believers are called to help stop moral decay and bring godly influence to this world. That's what Jesus is teaching here. The major warning about losing their flavor is dangerous, as it says, and then it's good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There's great danger there, and it can become ineffective in fulfilling the mission of Christ. Our light and our salt can be ineffective, folks. Sometimes we do, as you're going to see as we get down through here, you're going to see some benefits of salt and light that I'm going to present to you. But it can be dangerous if we just keep it to ourselves. It's no good. Flavor refers to the taste of something that's pleasant, something that, especially in relation to food, when used metamorphically, it can denote the quality or essence that makes something enjoyable. In the context here in Matthew 5:13, Jesus speaks of salt losing its flavor. It signifies a loss of effectiveness or the impact that we may have. Just as salt that no longer enhances flavor or preserves food, it becomes useless or ineffective. How's your flavor? How are you keeping it? Are you keeping it to yourself? Or are you sharing with the salt shaker with other people? There's benefits of salt. Number one, it preserves. Salt preserves. We are to preserve whomever or whatever we come in contact with. When we are around other people, we are encouraging them and being grounded in our faith. Or does our behavior have them questioning our faith? How's our actions outside in the public eye? Or maybe in our own household? Or maybe on the job site? Or maybe wherever it may be? What's our faith look like? This can happen to any of us. People watch us as Christians on how we act or react to things. We can do it differently. We can react or we can act upon. And why do they watch us so hard? Because when we step out of line, they say, "I told you so. I knew there was something about Ralph Smith." Or, "I knew there's something. I knew that he had some." No, I'm a sinful man, and not that I stay there, but sometimes my walk questions my faith. But I know differently. Also, number two, it purifies. Just as we are purified through Christ, we must live as if we're purified. Very difficult at times. The purification is what Christ has done for us. By doing so, we can help others walk with Christ by encouragement, getting involved. By that, we have some spots left. Help clean the church, maybe some Sunday school teachers coming up, maybe some nursery. We got filled pretty good, but there's some spots. If you're looking for something, come see me. I can put your name to it. Get involved. And the other thing for purification, the most important, is by God's word. We are purified by God's word, and this is one of the most important things that we have to look towards. Number three, we live in upstate New York, Northeast PA, right? Winters here can be difficult, horrendous, can be nice. We've had a really nice week. We were talking about that. I seen 60 degrees yesterday. I don't know if anybody had any more. I was like, woo! And somebody just texted me this morning and said, the robins are out. I said, oh, no kidding. Flowers are coming up, but... So, we live in the Northeast. Winters are unpredictable, and we need salt on the roads, walkways, our paths, different things. So, number three, the salt penetrates. It dissolves and soaks in. It penetrates 100% of the time. So should we. We should not let the worries of this world penetrate our life. We need to share what the good news is all about, the gospel. We need to be effective. And with that, salt, like I just said, it melts ice. Do you know anybody that's really stricken in their faith that has gotten cold as ice and even so hard as ice would be? Do you know anybody? We're to help melt that barrier. We're to be the salt of Christ, to come to Him and to share with them the good news. Also, we are not to be lukewarm. We're to be either hot or cold. If we're lukewarm, in Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says this, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, what's he say? I will vomit you out of my mouth. He wants us to be on. We're to help warm people's lives with the love of Christ. And remember, salt can melt down any piece of hardened ice, no matter how thick or how stubborn it may be. And we've had some of them. I've been in some of them. I've been that hard before. Also, living in the Northeast, and salt, it provides traction, right? Many times we find our people around who are on slippery path. So John's going to, he works for the state. We got a warning, a storm warning coming up here Monday, Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be salt in the roads. And because of that, it also breaks down cars and rust and everything, right? So thanks New York State Department. you're welcome. So, well, I guess it could be. We get a new car. No, we don't. We're to provide traction from God's promises, which is the truth. We need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that slippery lifestyle ourselves. We got to be careful with that, because sometimes we can. We can have that as well. What would your faith look like today if we were to observe you for the rest of the day? Would you be a good example of your faith? Would you be possibly looking for some traction, looking for some penetration, God's word does all of this to us and for us. And we are to be examples out in this world. We had a meeting here a few weeks ago about reaching the community and some of the kids and stuff. And if you're interested, and I know some couldn't make it, but we're going to have another meeting coming up here in February in a couple weeks. It'll be announced probably next week. If anyone is interested, this is exactly what the word is telling us about right here. Anyone interested, please come. Come to that meeting in a couple weeks. There's 3 points here about the salt. Number one, it preserves morality. Just as salt prevents decay, strive to live a life that upholds moral values. Be a positive influence with others. Number two, have conversations that are uplifting. Add a little flavor to your conversation with others. Speaking words of encouragement, kindness, speaking words of truth. Let your speech be of grace and love. Let it show Christ coming out of your mouth. We need to be careful about losing our flavor. We need to guard our heart from being ineffective. We need to continually search the scriptures for the growth of our faith and maintain a spiritual walk with Christ. These are just a few things that we need to do as being the salt of this world. Now, as we continue on in verses 14 through 16, it talks a little bit about the light of the world. Jesus continues telling his disciples, "You are the light of the world." He shifts from salt to light, emphasizing on the visibility and how we illuminate the room, how we illuminate our household, how we illuminate our job site, whatever it may be. He shifts here and he says, "We're not a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither should we as believers. We shouldn't hide our faith." We need to let people see Christ living in us. Remember the lukewarm church they spoke about? Their good deeds and righteous living should be evident to all. And listen, and I'll be the first to tell you, I fail this test. Not all the time. Sometimes I do fail this test, so please forgive me. Pointing people to Christ, we need to continually to point them to Christ. Does your life have evidence of Christ in it? Good question. Let me put you in the right circumstance. Let me put you in the right struggle. Count it all joy, right? Well, it's tough. The purpose of full visibility is to not glorify ourselves, but to glorify God in all things. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to glorify Him, right? And it talks about a lamp under a bushel basket is no different than hiding one's faith. What good would it be if I kept it just for Ralph Smith? And then you can't have it, Ken. This is mine. Jen, no way. Brett, this is mine. I'm going to keep it right here. I don't have to share it with anybody. I'm getting fed, and I like it. What good is that? We're not to keep our faith to ourselves. It would not be a good steward by doing so. We as believers should be impacting the world and letting our light shine. Are you doing this today? And what does that look like? We want everybody to see it. And it's not about us showing the light, or having the light per se. It's about us showing the light on how we had gotten the light. You're going to hear this at the end of this the message today. That's what it's about. It's about what Christ did for us, what Christ did for me. July 8, 1994. I still remember the day just like it was right here. I could tell you all about it. There are benefits to light. It clarifies. It shines on the darkest roads that have speed bumps. You ever been on any of them? And that we're not aware of? Imagine we didn't have headlights on our car. Holy smokes. I just see it when we do have headlights on our car. Some of you driving around, I know, that, boy, you need more headlights on it just so you can see where you're going. We sometimes hit bumps that we're not aware of. And we got to be careful about hitting with worldly lifestyles. Some years ago, my son was playing football, and he was playing at a prep school, and we had just about the whole team over one night. And all these kids were inner city kids. And not out in the country, not very many street lights and whatnot. And these guys were like 6'8", 300 pounds, and there was like 16, 17 of them. Man, could they eat too. Holy smokes. But something I reminded myself about light is that it clarifies. It shines on the darkest roads and speed bumps I'm not aware of. But I'm just reminded of, so my son and them, they took them out and they went to Binghamton one night, and all these guys were in all these cars. Well, they come down off Falls Road. Falls Road is like way in the backwood. It's beautiful. If you ever get a chance, drive down Falls Road during the summer, not winter. But it's really pretty. And it's over by our place. Anyways, they came down through there, and sure enough, the drivers, I don't know if you ever played this game before, shut the lights off and keep going, right? Wow, it scared them right through that. They were frantic. They couldn't see. They couldn't understand where they were, and they got scared, and my son and my daughter and all of them were telling a story about it. Well, they got home, and like I said, there's like 16 of them, big dudes. And so we had a bunch of bedrooms and beds ready for them. They were going to go, and they didn't. These guys all slept together on a living room floor. Why? They were afraid of the dark. There was no street lights to shine light. There was nothing there, and they all knew that they were protected if they were together. The light shines even in the darkest places and things so that we can see. It clarifies visibility. Also, it reveals truth. Sometimes people have a blurred vision and can't see the big picture, even if it's right in front of them. We should show them the path of Christ, and which can reveal truth in their heart by the Word of God. I've been there myself. Have you ever been there where you can't see it and it's right there in front of you? And you don't understand and you can't put it together until truth has been revealed. It also inspires. It inspires. We have found ourselves at the point in life, a dark place. Once the light penetrated our path, it gave us inspiration. So we have inspiration. I'm going to give you another little scenario. I was coon hunting one time with a couple buddies of mine, and we went back up over our hill down into Cat Hollow, and it was dark one night. Dark, dark, dark. And I was the only one that had a light. These guys, it was Dom, if it was listening, it was you and Frankie, I remember, and my buddy Dominic. So we went up over the mountain, and I said, I'm going to play a little joke on these guys. We were sitting there listening for the dog, and the dog took off, I don't know. So I shut my light off, and it was dark, and I started walking away. Remember, I was the only one with the light. And I walked, and I went way a ways up on the next ridge. All of a sudden, I hear, "Hey, Ralph, where you at? Hey, where'd you go? Ralph!" I clicked on the light, and says, "I'm up here!" So, turn the light back on. they were inspired to have light just to see where I was at, because they were back in Cat Hollow at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, not a real comfortable feeling. It inspires. We should also inspire people we've encountered and don't know where they're headed after death. We need to share the gospel message with them. Also, the light, it also convicts us. Imagine if we didn't have light. Imagine if the sun never came up. What would it be like? Where would we be like? We'd be able to get away with just about anything. Right? Including we could probably be deceived. The light convicts us of how we really look and where we came from. I'm reminded of the rear view mirror. Why is that so small? And the front window is so big. Being remindful of where we came from is small. We're not just put our mind there. But the windshield is big, so we know where we're headed. Same situation. God's word convicts. This is very dangerous, staying in the dark by ourselves. Aren't you glad that we have the light of Christ? Number five, one more thing it does, its benefit, it beams. The light beams. Just like the lighthouse shines its light out in the sailing ships of potential danger ahead, it gives them the correct sailing course of safe ground. We as Christians are to continually to show people to Christ and point them to the Savior, in which leads to eternal life in Him. We also are to shine a light of a good safe ground, a safe course to travel and to go along. If I ask each and every one of you, you ever been down them bumpy roads or maybe stumbled off on a course of where you're supposed to, you probably all have a story to tell. But thank God that we don't have to stay there. 3 points here with the light. Visibility. We're to have our faith in Christ open to everyone. We're to be visible. Don't hide your faith. Let it shine through your actions, your attitude, and your choices. We can make bad choices. Let's be visible, church. Good deeds. Let's engage in acts of kindness, compassion, and service. Be intentional about doing good works, including in the church. Like I said, we have some slots on the board to fill. Glorify God. You would remember that our purpose to glorify God, not yourself or ourselves. Make our lifestyle be recognizable. Let the presence of Christ be evident in our walk in this world. We are to remember our purpose is to glorify God, not ourselves. When others see our lifestyle, may they see and recognize Christ in our life. Remember, applying this message isn't about any perfect in any way, but about being sincere and a desire to honor God. Let your light shine brightly, and many others be drawn to the light in which you as believers so richly hold on to. Here's some practical steps to impact our community. When I say our community, I can look out here and see we're from all different parts of the surrounding area. We can live with integrity. Let's be honest. We can be a positive influence. That's being an encourager. We can be visible and authentic. Be real, not just lip service. We can serve others in any aspect. We can pray and seek God's guidance daily, morning, or at night. Daily, morning, noon, or night. We need to seek God's guidance. We need to avoid compromise. Remember, there's only one way to heaven. There's no compromising whatsoever. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? Very, very, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way. And here's the other thing. Share the gospel to the world, to your community, whatever it may be, wherever you're at. I try to do this on a daily basis with my workers. And some of them are rough. Some of them know, and some of them don't know. But I tell them all the time. Just told them this on Friday. I said, you know, I pray for you every day. You do? I said, yep. I let them know at least once every 2 weeks or so, I pray for them. Well, thanks, boss. Just letting them know. You know, they appreciate it. Remember that being a Christian is a lifelong journey. We need to have a heart of full gratitude that seeks to please Christ. As I said, one of the last points here is about sharing the gospel. Here's something quick that you can learn about how you could share the gospel easy. What is the gospel? Here's something easy to remember. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, spells it all out. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, right? Which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. If you memorized them four verses, actually, if you memorize verse 3 and 4, pretty simple. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. There's key ingredients here. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. His body was laid in a tomb, and on the third day he conquered death and rose again. Amen. This is the heartbeat of Christianity, the good news that changes everything. We as believers know about this good news and how it has changed our life forever. See, we have that hope. Here's another one to remember. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Phyllis reminded me of that numerous, numerous times in the past. I think she was just trying to be smart to me, but she was talking about probably the last part, about the boasting part, but I'm not sure. No, not really. She was just loving on me. Now listen to this. By grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is a gift. It's an undeserved favor to you and I. God's love reaching out to a fallen world. That's a gift that we have. Faith is our response to that grace. And trusting and relying on Jesus, no matter what the circumstances, no matter. You've heard me talk about some of them in the past, no matter what. To those who might be here or listening online, this is an invitation. The gospel is transforms us from the inside out. It brings hope, purpose, and a fresh start in life. Reflect on this gospel, the good news that invites you into a relationship with a living God. Accept Jesus as your Savior and experience the full joy of salvation. Remember, friends, the gospel isn't just information. It's an invitation to an abundant life. At the end of the day, the saltiness is from God, as is the light. I don't know if you guys have seen this some time ago. I showed it to our youth group years and years ago. It was about transforming from the inside out. James Dobson had a film out. It wasn't very long. It was called A Man Called Norman. Any of you guys, Rick, you remember that? Any of you folks seen that or heard of that? If you can, look that up and watch this movie. It's exactly what we've been talking about today. This man, Norman, was a hard life man. Didn't have much at all. And Mr. Dobson, while he's telling the story, seemed like living across the street to this man and had to see him every day. And finally, this old timer, he gets what Christ is all about. And he's like talking to Mr. Dobson. And he's like, "Oh, I see." He says, "You got to clean the inside out first, so you can see out through, and then you clean the outside up." He says, "You got the picture. So your window, you got to clean the inside, and then we got to clean the outside in order to see clearly what Christ is doing in our life." But I challenge you, look that up. It's called A Man Called Norman by James Dobson. Phenomenal flick. And it goes right along with what we're talking about here today, about being the salt and the light in this world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we could come together and search your scriptures. And Lord, if you would be so kindly to have favor on us, help us not to lose our salt. Help us not to lose our flavor or to keep our light hidden under a bushel basket. Let our light shine brightly as if it's on a lampstand on a mountainside. Whether it's in our home, workplace, schools. Our own personal life. Whatever it may be. Lord, you are so good to us. I want to thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for the blood that's been applied to each and every one of us that are called. Father, use us in these communities, Hancock, Stilesville, Deposit, Binghamton, wherever it may be. I'm just so grateful for what you're doing. And what you're going to do in the future ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.